episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. This is a fun topic today. I am having a conversation. This was a conversation that I had via Instagram Live with a style coach. Her name is Latoya Polk Robinson, and she is brilliant. First of all, she is fly. She is gorgeous. She is smart. She is another INTJ like me. And I have to say, I have a bias toward INTJs. I can't help myself, but she is fantastic. And our conversation was about confidence and the kind of confidence that allows you to walk into a place like you own it, taking up space, allowing yourself to be seen, and not caring who doesn't like it. We talk about how to work with your body image, the importance of style, the psychology behind style and fashion. We talk about navigating haters. It's really just an awesome conversation about how you can use your personal appearance to further develop yourself, to level up in your life. And I hope that you enjoy it. So I'm going to stop blabbering and let's get into the conversation. Welcome everybody that's on our Own the Room IG Live class. I am Brittany Nicole, and I am excited to share Latoya Polk Robinson with you guys. She is a fantastic stylist. I want Latoya to speak to what she does and kind of talk about your work. So can you explain to us what you do and your specialty, Latoya?
Sure. So I am a style coach, which means that my whole motto is to be able to help busy professional women to be able to attract the people that have signed into their life and their business through their image and through their style. I believe that we're all assigned people in this life, and I believe that we are all here to attract those assigned people. As you hear that, you may like, I'm attracting the wrong people in my life. I keep attracting the same guy, or I keep attracting the wrong friendships. And it's like, why are we attracting those people? And it's definitely, I believe it does stem from, you know, your inside as well as your outer layer as well. How are you dressing? What are the type of people that you're attracting? So what I do is to help those women to be able to attract the right people in their lives. So that is what I do.
And I love that your work is around attraction. Like you said, it's not just what you're wearing, it's the inside part as well. So that's why I was really like interested to get your point of view on this concept of like owning the room, walking into the room and taking up space, because what you wear is a part of that, but there's other factors, deeper factors at play. So what I do, I am a life coach, and I am a trauma certified life coach, but I want to clarify, I feel like the title of life coach is a little bit unclear. Sometimes people think life coaching is like therapy, and I like to say that it's therapeutic, but it's very different than therapy, in that what a life coach does is kind of facilitate somebody who's in the middle of a transition. It could be somebody who is changing careers, or maybe you're trying to leave your job and start a business, or, you know, exiting a relationship and starting your whole life over. A life coach is really to help you like identify what an authentic lifestyle is for you and the habits that you need to change and the mindsets that you need to change, and then holding you accountable to actually doing that. So that's what we both do. And we both love fashion. Like, we be dressing. Dressing. So a couple of the things that we're going to talk about in today's live, I have notes over here. So if you see me looking, I'm looking at my Mac Daddy. That's my computer right there. What we're going to be talking about today, we're going to go back and forth on several topics so we can get Latoya's expert advice as a style coach and my advice as a life coach. And the topics today are: what is style? How do you build your confidence with style? How do you own the room? How do you deal with haters? Oh, I can't wait to get to that one. How do you deal with haters? And so let's get into it. So Latoya, what to you, what is style? How do you define style?
And before I go all the way in, Brittany, I would say, I didn't even see the whole ensemble with the feathers and the arms. Can we see the arms? The sleeves, yes. Yes, I love it. I was like, hold on now, I see something.
I needed festive so that I could gesture and you like really, you know,
I had love to be it. Yes, I love it. I love some feathers and pink, and I didn't see my background.
All of it,
I
yeah.
love it.
I feel like I should be in the background right now.
You
Like,
should be, and I feel
all
like I should be over there.
the. Yes. So, yeah, how do you define style?
Right, for me, for style, I say for personal style, style is a distinctive way that we can are able to express ourselves through our appearance. We're able to tell a story before we even open our mouths by our clothing, and I love that. Like even just to give an example for me, like it's very introvert. I was really shy growing up, and I was able to. That's one way that people, would come talk to me first, or that I was able to express myself without having to talk to anybody, or having to have that little small talk conversation. Because you would see it on my clothing. You would see it on my body. So before you even, walk, before you even open your mouth, when you walk in the room, the first thing that walks in the room is your clothes.
Yes.
Your clothes walk in the room before before you open your mouth, before your personality walks in. So you can express your personality before people actually get to say hello to you.
That's
So that's the style is for me.
so true. I'm gonna side note real quick. You said you're introverted. Did you say before you were an INTJ too? Yeah. See? Clear. Clear.
Yes.
I definitely share that as far as being introverted, and I was using my style the opposite way to hide, actually. I used to wear a lot of all black, and I didn't realize subconsciously that's what I was doing, was trying to not be seen. But as I started to think more consciously about, like you said, style communicates before you communicate. As I started to think more consciously about what's the message that I want to give off and what do I want to attract to me, I didn't want to hide as much with my style, but there was an edginess and a protectiveness about wearing all black that I did want to still incorporate. So my style, I would say, is like I incorporate a lot of like punk rock elements and whimsical elements, and I like patterns and bold colors and stuff, because what I'm trying to express from my personality is that, I can be kind of I have very strong opinions. I have a lot of interest in music. My style is very influenced by music. And so to me, style is like, just like you said, it's a communication, it's an expression of your personality. And I think it's an artistry too. I think that your style can not only extend to like the clothes that you wear, but the way that you decorate your space and the music that you listen to and the food that you eat. It's like, it's your personality, right? That's how I would define it.
Agree. I definitely agree. Even like I'm vegan now for probably the last 2 years, and I have looked more into like the even vegan clothing. I've gotten to more of the faux and the faux furs and things of that sort. So it does, even with expressing of the clothes that you wear, the things that you eat,
Yes.
and like you said, your environment. So I definitely agree.
Yes. So let's get into the next question, which is, how do you build your confidence with style? What's your take on that?
I have a few pointers on that. Actually, I wrote them down. Building your confidence with style, number one is to know yourself. Confidence is key in life, period. But to be able to build your personal style is all, it's definitely confidence. You have to know you. Like, do you know or understand your body? That is the
Yes.
biggest thing. Do you know what looks good on your body? Do you know what colors look good on you? And if you don't, then experiment is what I'll say. So like the second thing I would say is experiment. Like that's even if I know some people don't like to go shopping, go to the stores, but if you do go on and try a couple different pair of pants, grab a couple different sizes and shapes and colors and see what looks good on you. Different tops. And if you don't like going to the store, like even just go on, grab things online. Even if it's like Amazon, you can send those things back. If like try some different shapes and sizes and colors, experiment and say, oh, this doesn't really look good on me. This does. Oh, I love this. So you're not just like putting on anything. So that is confidence. I would say always to say know yourself, but be you. So when I say confidence of being you, so for a person who may like I hate heels, but I guess for them to quote unquote feel feminine, I need to wear heels. Like, I love heels, but everybody doesn't love heels.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, heels aren't for everybody, but you're like, okay, for me to feel feminine or to wear the strap, I need to wear heels. But if you hate them, you're not going to be confident when you walk. you're not going to be confident, especially if you don't know how to walk in them. If you don't know how to walk in them and you want to be able to, you know, walk in heels, then that's something you can practice and learn. But if you absolutely hate them and you just feel like, you know, maybe like my mother always told me how to wear heels, or I feel like that's the only way I can be feminine, or go on dates, I need to wear heels, and you absolutely hate it, you're not going to be confident.
That's right.
When you walk. So be you. Like, you can wear some nice flats or different types of shoes that like heels are not your thing. That's just for an example. Self-care. Make sure you take care of yourself. And that's mental and as well as mental and physical. Like, make sure that you are taking time out to work on you. Because to be confident, you have to work on yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, if you don't know who you are, like, how are you going to be confident? You're just going by the whatever perceptions that people have put on you, because you don't even know who you are.
Right.
So you have to sit with yourself and really understand who you are, what you stand for, what you don't stand for, what's your boundaries. And that's even like meditation or who your higher power is, as well as working on the outer, as in go get a massage, go get your nails done, go get a facial. And you might be like, I don't got it right now. Then do it yourself. Like, do it yourself. Like, there's no excuses. Like, you can do it yourself. Go get a nail file as well. Just make sure you're taking care of yourself, because that's a big part of your confidence. If your nails look like crap, you're not going to shake nobody's hand. If your skin looks like crap, you're going to just be piling on more makeup or not want to go anywhere because you don't feel confident. Like, there's things to work on. Of course, it's, you know, problems with acne, which I've had my life. But there's also, when you need to drink water, maybe you need to eat, you know, learn what you need to eat and what you not need to eat. Those are all things that you can work on. And those are working on yourself.
I agree with all of that. Like, there's so much that goes into style before you decide what to wear. And I like that you said with, you have to know you. So I want to ask you, when how your personal style, when you figured out what that was, what did you know about yourself at that time to figure out, okay, this is how I can express myself with my style? Does that make sense?
Phrase it again.
So was there a time period where you didn't really know what your style was and you figured it out? And if so, what was that process like? I guess that's a better way to ask the question.
Throughout my life, because I feel like we're
frozen.
Are you frozen? Can y'all see?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you are getting blurry.
Okay.
Let me make sure.
Let me know if you can hear me. I can hear you.
I can hear you. You're just blurry.
Okay.
Can anybody put in the chat? Can you all see us and hear us?
Yes, let us know if you can see and hear us. Did you hear the question that I asked before it got cut off?
I did.
Okay.
So for me, as I was saying, there's multiple times throughout my life, I feel like it's evolution. We are continuously evolving. So there's been multiple times where I have felt like I've known my style and I've not known my style and not, you know, because I'm continuously evolving. Like, for example, motherhood. I am a mother, I have two children. I feel like when I got stuck into mommy mode, and I was just like in, you know, sweats and yoga pants and things of that sort, and then trying to go back into the working field of corporate America, and then trying to figure out how do I want to show up as me. So, and that's, you can hear us? Okay, great. Video is a little blurry. Ah, that's terrible. So, for me, to do so, to make sure of knowing who I always knew that, like, at one point in my life, I was pretty tomboyish and definitely was the one who would wear the baggy clothes and really
like that. No, really,
I was really tomboyish, and I still have my moments. Like, I don't always show up online like that because that's not people that I'm attracted. I want to attract my ideal client. But if you catch me at the store, I will still have on a baseball hat and some jeans and shirt. And sometimes people don't probably don't even know it's me, and that's fine. Like, you don't need to. But yeah, like, I was really tomboyish and really, you know, so I like to be active, and I still am a nature person. Mm-hmm. But I knew, just knowing who I want to become, I always want to be like that really feminine, that girly. I love all the pink frilly. I love flowers. I love all of that. So when I was evolving back, I want to show up how I really feel inside. And it wasn't the tomboyish side. It was more of the frilly, the girly, the chic.
Yeah.
I want to show up as that chic her. So when I knew who I wanted to, you know, show up as, then I started to incorporate, started to try on, and started to experiment with what I wanted to. And like I said, on the outside of it, like when I dress down, I still would dress down and wear baseball hats.
It's so true about the evolution thing. I feel like I'm having an evolution right now. I've never really played with the like athletic or tomboy kind of style, but you know how we're talking about the style is a reflection of your life, your personality, your hobbies, all of that stuff. And in the past year, this has like been the most active that I've ever been. I'm dancing all the time now, taking dance classes all the time. I'm training. And so I'm in workout clothes a lot. And I've been playing around like with more of an athleisure type of style, which I never thought like that was not a part of who I was before, but it is a part of who I am now. So I had to kind of figure out, all right, well, how do I want to look at the gym? Like, I like that you you talked about self-care as being a part of confidence. And I think that taking the time to say, this is how I want to look in this space. This is how I want to feel in this space. And it doesn't matter if I'm home, if I'm at the gym, if I'm at work, if I'm hanging out with friends. Like, I want to look intentional. I want to look like the way that I'm presenting myself is on purpose and like I care about myself. Yeah. And for me, I think style is, it's a form of self-love and it's a form of self-respect. I think that there is a way to always present yourself, even when nobody else is around, and still be comfortable. And when, you know, during COVID, when everybody's home and it got a little wild, people got a little lax. I probably gained the most weight that I ever gained during that time because I'm Same. Like, I'm not out, I'm working from home, I don't care how I look, I'm depressed anyway, whatever. But then when I started going back to work, like, my clothes wasn't fitting anymore. And so it really is like, it's a form of honoring yourself and honoring your body and connecting to yourself. And I also think as far as building confidence, you said something very powerful, which is knowing yourself. But I think there's a step right before, I don't know if it's right before or right after knowing yourself, which is giving yourself permission to be who you are. Because yourself, but you don't feel like you can express who you actually are. You're not allowed to express who you are. Or you're too afraid of what people are going to think if you express who you are. Then it doesn't matter. So I think there's a part of like confidence that is, there's a boldness that's required for you to be like, this is me, and you can take it or leave it, but this is me.
Yeah.
Almost like there's almost a little rebelliousness and confidence that I feel like, because a lot of people are more comfortable just doing what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And it can seem, if that's all you're around all the time, it can seem abnormal to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to do what I want to do, and I don't care if you like it or not. Okay, so all of that.
I love that. I love that. And just saying, dressing well is a form of good manners. Tom Ford said that.
Tom Ford said that.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get to the next topic, which is how do you own the room? I want to start with this one here because we've talked a lot about style. And that is the thing that you see. But I also think that there's a aspect of style that has nothing to do with your clothes, which is your body language. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could have on the flyest outfit, but if you walk in a room and your like posture is like,
yep. That
is, you don't want to be seen, you're communicating, don't look at me. And mm-hmm. you, own your power. You cannot connect with people energetically. You cannot communicate, you know, powerfully if you're not embodying yourself. So I'm tall. And one of the things that my mom always instilled in me was like having good posture and sitting up straight. And she literally taught me how to walk. she taught me how to walk as a tall girl. And that stayed with me. That still stays with me as a grown woman. So I think like not only is it just your clothes, but like the way that you walk in the room with pride and with confidence. And even if you don't feel it, you can still emulate that body language of confidence by having like your shoulders back and your head forward and practice walking it. If you like to wear heels and you don't walk well in heels, like practice it at home. And there's a certain way of walking that, how do I explain this? It's called a somatic narrative, which means that your body language tells the story of how you feel about yourself and the experiences that you had. And kind of doing this work in studying somatic psychology and trauma, especially, I am now noticing things that people are communicating, the fear that comes out of their body language that they don't even realize that they're communicating. Mm. And so what we say matters less than the way that we say words with our body. So wow. I think body language is a big part of owning the room. And then there's also like going back to the confidence thing of, do you feel like you can take up space? You can't own the room if you feel like your job is to be small, or if you feel like it is inappropriate for you to take up space in the room that you're in. And that's more of a mind thing. If you feel like it's not right for me to take up space, or I feel uncomfortable taking up space, or I'm going to make somebody else uncomfortable if I take up too much space. There's kind of questions I think you have to ask yourself, like, why do I feel that way? Where did that come from? Who was the first person who tried to make me feel small? Mm-hmm. Having that internal dialogue, because you can't project confidence if you feel like you're not allowed to be confident.
That's really good. That is so true. Like, to not let anyone dim your light, mm-hmm. but to think of the internal trauma that some may have, and that could be like starting off, you know, in childhood, typically is where everything, you know, stems from. But to think that maybe a parent who was saying like, oh, like you're doing too much. You're like, it could have just been simple as that, or you're so extra or something like that. And then you like try to live that, like, you know, I've had people in my life like, oh, you don't have to, you know, do so much, or why you always got heels on, or, you know, we're just going here, you know, and I'm just like, oh, this is what I like to wear. This is what I wanna wear. But yeah, it definitely stems from going back to confidence. Absolutely. Confidence, you have to be able to, like you said, walk into the room. If you don't know, have the confidence to wear the clothing, like I always tell my clients, I can dress you up, but if you don't have the confidence to wear it, the clothes are going to wear you, and mm-hmm. you're not going to wear them. Mm-hmm. So to be able to own the room for me, and it's like the same thing, my aunt would make me walk since probably 12 years old with heels on, with a book on top of my head, and walk straight. So I've always been able to walk in heels. I've always been able to, like she's always said, don't ever put your head down for nobody. I always have your head held high. So I used to hear people like, oh, you always got your head held high, like, well, because that's how I was taught, you know. I was taught to don't ever hold your head down. Don't hold your head down.
I don't want to be heard. I think that what I have to say is not valuable. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you're about saying.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is like making the eye contact, to be able to walk in the room, walking with your head held high. I'm 5'4", short, but I walk tall. It's like, I walk, like I'm probably like 6 foot. Like I walk tall, my head is held high, and I'm gonna make eye contact, and I'm gonna speak, hey, how you doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. Even though I'm an introvert and I'm, you know, pretty shy, I still will speak to anyone. You know, I'll speak to everybody. I might not hold a long conversation, but I'll speak to you. And I'm able to walk in the room. For one, I know Like, I do my research. Before you go to anywhere, I always say, like, if you're going to an event or going anywhere, have you done your research to even know where you're going? Who are you around?
That's a good tip.
How are you dressing? Like, what's the environment? How are they? Go look online and see how they dressed last year. You know, is there a dress code? So you can feel confident in what you're wearing. So if you know what you're wearing, you know you look good, you know who you are, you've worked on yourself, all of these things are coming together,
yes,
then you're able to walk confidently.
That's
the room.
That is so, I love that you said that, because there is really a strategy. Like, when you think of style as a form of communication and you're going somewhere, then, okay, what do I want to communicate in this place to these people? And you think about, I've thought about that too. You think about, if I have a job interview, you know, I want to look a certain way. There are certain colors that I won't wear on a job interview, or I might do my makeup differently because I want to be perceived a certain way. Unfortunately, you know, people do judge a book by its cover. And so you have to think about the image that you're presenting and what you're communicating and what kind of effect that you want. Eye contact, I didn't even think about that. But yes, that's very, very strong. How would you recommend somebody practice, like, working more eye contact into the way that they communicate? Because people are hella afraid of eye contact. Like,
they are.
Young age to never break eye contact first with somebody. And so I've been doing that, but I noticed that most people don't hold eye contact. So how would you teach somebody how to start doing that more?
That's wild, because I've been trying to teach my daughter how to do it more, because she doesn't do it either. And I feel like, I just talked about this generation, but this generation is just so social media that it's like, we don't really have to shake hands or talk to anybody anymore. It's just online. So I've been teaching her. She's like, I don't really like make eye contact. I'm just like, you know, try to do a little bit at a time. Of course, I don't want you just like, don't stare the person down. Like, right. Like, now you're looking a little creepy. Don't do too much. That's what I'm gonna say. Don't do too much. Don't do too much. But, you know, when we're having a conversation, just make sure we make that eye contact. You can look away, you know, get your thoughts together, and then just come back to, like, reassure and listen. Because it makes you also, like, active listening. Like, I'm listening to you. Because if you don't make eye contact with me, like, who are you talking to? like, what are we doing? But I would say just, like, try to do a little bit at a time. Just try to weave that in there in a conversation. Just make sure that you are looking at the person. But like I said, if you have to gather your thoughts, you can look off. You know, just don't have to stare them down the entire time. Just, like, a little subtle look.
I think too, you can also practice, like, making eye contact with yourself when you're doing things in the mirror, or recording yourself and trying to make eye contact with the camera and then watching that back. I think that, like, safe way to practice doing that. I think that's such a power, and also it's very sexy. Very attractive when somebody knows, like, hold a conversation and make eye contact. It makes you feel seen and listened to, and it also shows, like, I'm not afraid of you, which is, like, a key element of owning the room, is, like, not having that fear.
Yeah, I think that's one of my things, because I've always heard that, you know, how you get so much confidence. I always heard that I have a lot of confidence, and that's one thing. Like, I just know who I am. One, I work on myself a lot. And like you said, just walking in, like, I can walk into a room and I can look at anybody in the eyes and hold that conversation, because I'm not, you know, I don't have that fear, but some people do. So that's a good tip, like, practice. Right. Everything is practice.
I think so much of confidence is really practicing whatever you're not good at. If you're not good at dressing well, practice.
Yep.
If you're not good, practice. If you're not good at making eye contact, practice. Like, I used to have such debilitating social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
If you talked to me 5 years ago, I would not be doing
this. Me either.
On camera? No. No, but it's something that I feel more comfortable with because I have practiced doing it. And I'm still not as comfortable as I would like to be, but this is also practice. A lot of confidence is putting yourself in the positions that you may not be comfortable with until you're comfortable.
I love that. I love how you play with words. Anyway, that's another conversation.
Okay, so anything else you would add to how to own the room?
I've talked about, let me see, having your head held high, eye contact, walking tall. Let me see, research the environment that you're going into. Ooh. Make sure your style.
I have one I just thought of, if you don't have that, but sorry.
I was going to say, just like positivity, make sure you have good aura, your energy.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Oh, go ahead. I'm going to add to what you just said, too, good energy, like your intentions. If you're going in the room with the mindset of like, I want to look better than everybody. That's not it. It's just the, I feel good about me. That like is very attractive and people notice that and people are called to that. And it actually inspires people. You being in your own authenticity and in your good energy and in your good space might help somebody feel like, you know what? I see her doing her. I can do me. And that's good energy. So you hit the nail on the head with that one. This is kind of, this may not be for everybody, but this is specific for me. I would say, especially because we were talking about like walk-in and body language, but for me, dance has been such a tool. One, because I dance in heels, so it's made my muscle memory when it comes to like walking and posture and holding my body in a certain way, I think, really good. But there a lot of the times you're practicing and like I'll go to the gym or I'll be in class and I'm practicing and I'm making mistakes and I might fall but I'm doing this in front of people are watching me fail, and so it helps you to get comfortable with making mistakes. And so not only is it the like dance helps you with your body language and feel comfortable with your body, but it helps you realize like you can build skills over time. You can make mistakes and grow and become better. And I think that for me, that's been a really, really big ingredient. And, you know, if I can go dance in heels and fall on the floor and, you know, three people in the gym saw me do it, I can go walk into a meeting and, you know, request what it is or make demands or have my proposal or whatever the case is. So even if it's not dance, but having like mm-hmm. something that you care about, that you're passionate about, that you have seen yourself grow and develop, you've developed trust in yourself and time, I think that can contribute to like the confidence, which contributes to the ability to own the room.
I love that. That's really good too.
So this is the spicy topic. This is like, I wanted to, let's talk about it. Haters. And the reason why I wanted to talk about how to deal with haters is because I think as women, I don't know if it's as women, but my experience has been that sometimes being a female that's okay with taking up space is not okay with other women who are not comfortable with themselves. And so what you'll get is the negging, the backhanded compliments, the, you know, one-sided competitions, and that fear of like making somebody uncomfortable with your light, I think is a thing for a lot of people who are like, I'm not gonna wear this because I don't want to outshine so-and-so, or I'm not gonna start. And I've heard, when I used to work in corporate America, I would hear this all the time from a lot of Black women, like I wanted to change my hairstyle, but I knew that as soon as I came in, people were going to start asking me about why am I dressing like this now? Am I interviewing for a job? Or, you know, so there's this kind of fear of taking up space that I think can limit your ability to stand in your own confidence. And so I wanted to talk about how to deal with haters, because I think that's a part, that's the negative part of confidence, is sometimes your confidence will trigger people. So what's your take on how to navigate dealing with haters?
Having to deal with, I guess, quote unquote haters. For me, to know those type of people is, for one, to know that they are, it's their insecurities that are pouring out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, like, for me, I've had, you know, I can walk into a room confidently, and then, you know, like, the whole topic of, like, who she thinks she is. Or I've had people say, oh, sorry, thank you. You think you cute, the back end, you know.
Yes.
Or just, you know, saying little things, or just whispering in the corner or whatever. And for the longest time, even having, you know, like, so-called friends who would say, you know, like you said, oh, you don't got to do all that, or, you know, you're always going to be extra, or just saying little things. And then I would try to dim down, or not wear the heels, or wear sneakers. And then I wasn't confident what I had on, because I'm trying to come down so I don't, you know, do too much or be too extra. But then I realized, as in being more confident and working on myself, that's their insecurities that are pouring out. That is, they see something in you that they don't have or don't know how to get. They may be seeing that you're getting attention. And, like, for me, like, I don't even ask for attention. I'm, like, shy and very much introverted. Like, I don't want it. But I could walk into the room and our eyes can be on me, or I have that good energy. I could be in a corner and people, you know, come over to that corner and start talking to me. And I don't even want the attention, but they see you getting it, and they may be like, oh, like, they're not getting it. They don't know how to get it. Are they, you know, so then that becomes jealousy and hate. Mm-hmm. And when that does happen, you have to know, as in I had to know myself, like, unfortunately, that's, you know, that's something that they need to work on. And yeah, that's why I, you know, have closet, like, I want to help women to be able to work on themselves and help them be able to attract what they need to attract in life and be able to get the attention that they need. But as in you, if you're having that, you have to know that you have to continue to be you.
Right.
You have to continue to be confidently you. If you hear that or see that going on, do not let that change your energy. Do not seep down into that negativity. Continue to have that good aura. And hey, how you doing? You know they talk about you. Keep walking. So what? Like, I'm not gonna let that stop me from being me, because I know who I am confidently.
That's right. Yeah, it really boils down to insecurity. I had a mentor who, he said this to me, and I've never heard it this way before, but it really kind of flipped my perspective on jealousy. And he was like, the reason that people are jealous of you is because they're inspired by you, but they don't know how to navigate that feeling. And so it triggers them, and they decide to project their insecurity on you. But really, it's like you said, there's something about you that they want, that they don't feel that they have. And it makes them itch. I am getting to a place where I empathize with that a little bit. And I think it's because the society that we live in creates this standard where beauty is almost a currency and attractiveness is a currency. And if you don't remove your identity from that, you identify with that and you agree with that, then you can start to value yourself on that scale, and you can unconsciously compete with people as if there is somebody who has more value than another person. But that's just a lie. And like you said, it is like the work that they have to do on themselves to realize this is my insecurity, and it shouldn't stop your light. You should never dim your light just because somebody is uncomfortable with how much you're shining. And it doesn't matter if that's a friend, a boyfriend, a husband, a parent. Like, no one that loves you should ever expect you to dim your light, and you're not doing yourself or them a favor by shrinking. But I think that jealousy is an interesting teacher if you're finding yourself as the jealous person, because that shows you what you want. What what is it about this person? What is it that they have that you want that you feel like you don't have? And why do you think you can't have it? Maybe you need to stop comparing yourself to them and figure out how you can get your version of whatever that deeper desire is. I think jealousy is a good teacher if you're conscious enough to, like, use it to, you know, and have some awareness about your own shadow. But if you're the person on the receiving end of the jealousy, like, play with it as something that empowers you. You have so much light and shine that it inspire there's people who are going to be drawn to you because they want to learn from you, because they admire you. And there's people who are going to be drawn to you because you have something that they don't want. Either way, you're inspiring. So I try to think of it that way now. But when I'm in a petty mood, when I'm in a petty mood, I'm like, let them watch.
And it's human nature, because we've all been on both sides.
Right.
Like, it's a lie if you say, I've never been jealous of somebody. We've all looked at somebody and been like, oh my God, like they're, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's always going to be greater than you, somebody's always going to be worse, you know, in a worse situation. So being on both, like, I see that, and I kind of, like you said, empathize with it as well, because I've been there, you know, I've definitely been there where I'm like, not at where the level where I'm at right now. I'm still not at the level where I want to be, but I'm daggone sharp farther than where I used to be, for sure. But when you know, you look back and you're like, dang, I've had some moments where I was definitely like, dang, how they get this, how they get that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then you have to work on yourself. So you can't be in that light. But some people are, like you said, not subconscious to know that they are even, like, being intimidated by somebody else. They don't even know that, you know, that they are being jealous. Some people don't even know.
That's
that, you know, like, they don't know. So
is there,
you gotta be self-aware.
Is there anybody or something that somebody had or did that triggered that in you, and like an adjustment that you made because you realized, oh, this is my thing I'm struggling with and I need to work on that?
Yeah, I would say after I had my children, like my body. It's working on my body. My body has fluctuated up and down. And like I recently went to 5 days a week, and I've seen the transformation in my body. But just seeing, saw a girl, you know, with a freaking crop top. And I wear crop tops as well, but normally I wear high-waisted because I got a little extra fupa there. But I see somebody with a flat, and I'm like, and I'm like, go to the gym and work out yourself. Like, she probably puts in time, and you need to put in extra time too, put down the food. So, like, we all do it. But that's not okay to spew that off to somebody else. That's not okay to project your own, like, insecurities. Not okay, but you just have to be aware that if you are on the other receiving line, that you have to continue to, like you said, not dim your light. And if you are that person that is doing it, then you got some work to do within yourself.
All right, baby. Sit down with a journal, please. Mm-hmm. Or a therapist. Or a coach.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'll confess to that. I'll cop to that too. I think for me, the comparison that happens in my mind sometimes is, you know, I'm a new entrepreneur. And so I look at people who are farther along in their business. And sometimes I'm like, oh, like, she's beating me. And then it's like, what's the race? There's no race, actually. And I'm in my lane and they're in their lane. And I just have to keep going. I have to keep building. That's what the process is. And I think that's kind of what it looks like when you're comparing yourself to somebody. You got to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, are you doing what they're doing to have what they have? Maybe you need to make some adjustments, or maybe you can't have what they have, and maybe you need to think about what is going to be actually more authentic to you. Like you said, jealousy. Like, we've all been on all sides of the spectrum, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It's very, very human experience. You just got to be real with yourself about it. That's all.
That's so true. That's so good. Especially with being a new entrepreneur. So I can definitely be here with you too. I'm like, especially when you see the people who just, like, feel like they just came out and then, like, they're just shout off me, like, I've been doing this, like, for me, speaking on myself. I've been doing this for 3 years.
That saying that comparison is the thief of joy, but I also, we don't compare ourselves to people the right way. Like, if I'm going to compare myself to somebody, I don't need to, as an entrepreneur, I don't need to, why am I comparing myself to somebody who's been doing this for 5 years? That don't make no sense. That's not
exactly,
like, we're not in the same place. So I think maybe I don't know. I haven't thought this all the way through yet, so don't quote me, but maybe it could be healthy if you're looking to somebody who's like a peer or similar to you to say, okay, well, what are they doing and how can I learn from them, instead of like feeling like this sense of competition or you have to be better than them. There's actually space for everybody. There's time too. So just like just stay in your lane and do your thing and focus on like what actually is true for yourself, I think. But I don't know, what do I know?
You know a lot. I definitely would say that's definitely great advice. I see we got some comments. I don't know if we want to read our comments before we
say, okay. Ooh, look at that. Look at all these comments. Okay, let's see. Hi, Brandy.
Hey, Kay Beauty.
DJ Six, who we have to be aware of that. It's a huge thing. Yes. Brandy says she loves this exchange. Thank you so much. I've always felt like there's two different types of jealousy. One takes more work. Interesting. Say more about that. I want to hear what two types of jealousy you mean. Have you heard of two types of jealousy before, LaToya?
I have not, so I'm intrigued. I would like to know a little more too.
Out for that comment to see. Yeah, I've never thought about that before, mm-hmm. but that's interesting. I think also what can be good if you are struggling with jealousy is like, don't just think about it, put it on paper, write it down, like get a journal and ask yourself, what is it that this other person has that I want? And why do I think I can't have that? Mm. And is that true? Is it really true that you can't have that? How do you know it's true? Like, give me some proof that this is 100% true. Because it's probably not.
And another thing, when I start looking at certain people, it depends on what you are looking at that person may be jealous of. You don't know what it took for them to get there, to have. That's what I always think about as well. You have no idea. Like just even think about the sacrifices that I've made now to become who I am. But even, like, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day to, you know, eating healthier to making sure I'm always, like, I have, you know, have businesses and children, and it's constant cycle of on schedule, and, you know, I don't get to just sit and watch TV. Like, I'm constantly moving and educate myself and working. So you don't know, are you willing to make those sacrifices to get to that level?
That's so true. And like you said, you don't know what somebody went through. Like, I am gonna be 34 soon, and I feel like at 33 is when I finally felt comfortable with my body. I had been in a war with my body for 22 years. And somebody who doesn't know me, who doesn't know my story, who doesn't know the health struggles that I've had, who doesn't know the trauma that I've been through, wouldn't necessarily know, like, just looking at me, the fight, the health crisis, the point where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to physically and mentally recover. You don't know what it takes somebody to get to wherever they are. So don't just, you know, assume. I think it would be better to be like, how did you do it?
Right.
You know, get curious. Okay. How did you get there? What are the steps? Teach me. And I love, I think it was Charlemagne the God that I heard him say this on a podcast one time about, like, getting to know people who are totally different from you, totally different, like, culture and socioeconomic status, because different people live different ways. And, like, having that mindset of teach me how you got there, it's more humble, it's more genuine, and I think it's just healthier. You're not doing the comparison thing. Humble yourself and allow yourself to be taught, and maybe you can, you know, get whatever it is that you're aspiring to. Let's see. Okay. She says, some people are jealous with no direction, and some are jealous, but they compare themselves because they want more for themselves. This comes with maturity. So I think you're saying jealousy isn't a bad thing unless you're jealous with bad intentions. Mm. So, well, okay. I get what you're saying. Yes. And I think that's what we're saying too, is it's a human feeling, you know, it's a feeling. I don't think that feelings are necessarily good or bad. It's what you do with it. And mm-hmm. if you decide, I think that jealousy, when it's unconscious, when you don't know that you're jealous and you don't know that you're treating somebody poorly because you're jealous of them, that's useless. You're hurting your relationship with that person. You're hurting yourself. You're keeping yourself stuck. But when you can say, ooh, I feel jealous. Let me figure out why. That's maturity. And that's, like, being an imperfect human who's trying to do their best. That's all we can do. That's all we can do is our best.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Jealousy is human. It's really, it's what you do with it.
I agree. This was great.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
Girl. So that those were the topics that we mainly wanted to cover today in this discussion about owning the room. LaToya, thank you so much for joining today. Thanks, I appreciate it. Can you share how everyone who doesn't already know you can follow you and get in contact with you?
Sure. You can follow me on all platforms at Closet Invite. It is Closet Invite, CLOSETIMVITE. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everything you can think of except for like X. You can always go to my website as well, which is www.closetinvite.com. I do offer complimentary style calls. So if you're interested in working on your style, then we can go ahead and schedule that call and then we can start working on you. I do image coaching as well with style coaching, which means that we're going to definitely work on your inside as well as outside. And of course, I'm a style coach. I'm certified. So we're going to work on your entire look from head to toe.
And I am on all platforms as Coach Brittany Nicole. My website is also coachbrittanynicole.com. If you are interested in life coaching, you're trying to work through a transition, you're trying to create and redecorate your life, then I can definitely assist you with that. You can go to my website to book a free 30-minute call. We can talk about what your goals are. I also have a podcast called the Coach Brittany Nicole Podcast, which are casted where all pods are casted. So you can find me that way. And thank you everybody for joining us for this conversation. I feel like we should do this again.
I know. I liked it. I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I always love your you have such a podcast voice, Brittany. I love it.
you have such great insights. So thank you again, LaToya. Thank you everybody for joining us. I hope you all have a great rest of the day. Find some time to own the room. Okay. Whatever the next room you're going in, own it. Okay. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.